is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive, in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Jason Allen, and this is Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney.
How much do you spend on your personal wellness? A new report is out that claims the U.S. tops the global list of countries for spending on wellness, running up an annual market of $1.8 trillion. From personal care and beauty to physical activity, healthy eating and weight loss, we are willing to make the investment in order to get the results. Does the same willingness for personal well-being work its way into our marriages? Welcome to Thrive with Brad Bigney. We've been considering God's purpose for marriage, and in our last episode, we began looking at ways a husband and wife can implement commands from the Lord into their marriage so that they would be living out the picture of the relationship between Christ and His church that we see in Ephesians 5. We can read books on how to have a strong marriage, and we can try all sorts of strategies, but if we're not putting into practice the things the Lord commanded of us, our marriages will not be operating according to God's purpose. Today, we will continue looking at ways to implement the commands of the Lord so that our marriages can thrive. Brad, how are you today?
Great. I'm excited to be digging back into not just Ephesians 5, 22 to 32, husband and wife, but what is surrounding that passage that is critical to being able to do what that passage is saying. And so far, we've already talked about you've got to be filled with the Spirit and not filled with you. You've got to know how to keep giving thanks instead of just criticism. And you've got to know, husband and wife, how to submit to each other and lay aside your rights and your list of expectations or sense of entitlement. But now we're pushing on past the husband-wife into chapter 6, that too often our people think, oh, hard stop, new subject, end of marriage. That's not what Paul was doing. He was beginning to talk about spiritual warfare because marriage so often turns into an all-out war, and our enemy Satan hates it so much he goes after it, Jason.
Before we look at that next command, Brad, can you say a few words about the two ditches that we evangelicals tend to fall into when it comes to thinking about our cosmic enemy?
Yeah. I think just like so many things, Jason, this issue of spiritual warfare, it so excites the human heart to even head in this direction that entire books get written. And so the one ditch is you literally make too much of our enemy, Satan. We've got Christians that have built entire complex theologies that are really nothing more than conjecture as they've launched from clear scripture to, well, we see this, so we assume this, and we assume this, and we assume this, and we propose this. And I mean, these are long books that get written, and guess what? They become bestsellers where I've got to figure out what demon is actually over my zip code, and I've got to, in the name of Jesus, be rebuking that demon, and what demon is around my house, you know? So that's the excess. But I got to admit, those of us, quote, and I'm not ashamed to say, this is my camp. I love the Bible. I'm reformed in my theology, but I want to be filled with the Spirit, and I love God's word, and I recognize His word tells me there is a real enemy. So this is not like, oh, that ended in Jesus' day. Do we really think there's a Satan? And do we really think there's demons? Oh, my word. Yes. So Ephesians 6 is still there for a reason. So the ditches are, he's all I want to talk about, and he's all I think about rather than my Jesus. And the other ditch is, I live as if he doesn't exist. I live as if there is no enemy. That would be a very dangerous. In fact, I think you should wake up recognizing I'm in a war. And it's a war that I don't see. So the kind of war he fights is more like, you know, it's not open warfare like when, you know, Britain's lined up against the Americans or the Civil War and they just shoot back and forth. We don't see this enemy. It's guerrilla warfare. But oh my goodness, he's real. First Peter 5, he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We've got Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of darkness. I think the reason Paul heads there is so often you can start relating to your spouse as if your spouse is the enemy.
Wow.
And you go to war with each other.
Yeah. So talk a little bit more about schemes of the devil. Why would Paul put it that way?
Because he actually has strategies. He's given this more thought than we have. And I'll tell you, one of his biggest strategies, A, is for you to live as if he doesn't exist. He's thrilled. He's thrilled. And that's what I think he's chosen to do in America largely, Jason. I love missions. I love the gospel. I'm engaged on multiple levels with Christians in other countries, and they see far more visible manifestation of demonic activity. Hey, Satan decides what he's going to do in each country. I think he's decided here for it to be more a mission of deception. Yes. And idolatry. Deception and idolatry. And so one of his biggest strategies is for you to just assume he doesn't exist. I tell you the second one, he loves for you to shrink your world down to no bigger than your latest marriage trial. Oh, you can't breathe in there. He loves for you to wake up thinking there's just, and again, it's back to giving thanks. If you can keep giving thanks, you can see bigger and think bigger and be grateful for things, even on your worst day, of what it's not, you know, how you wish it was better than this. But if you keep giving thanks, your world doesn't shrink down. He likes to shrink your world down, and he likes you to live as if he doesn't exist.
I can see that as opposed to being alert to the schemes of the devil. We are asleep to the schemes of the devil.
Yeah.
Much of the time. Brad, for the style conscious man and woman out there, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tells us what we should put on. How do we arm ourselves for spiritual battle?
Yeah. And I hope that I'll stir some of you out there listening that are my age. I'm 61. Who remembers flannel graph? Raise your hand right now. I don't care where you're sitting. You're in the car. Raise your hand. Oh, flannel graph. So cool. Because whenever I think of spiritual armor, that was one of our favorite things. You slap a little. And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, it was a big felt board on a tripod. And you just slap this little picture of a soldier up there. And there's some felt on the back of that picture. And he sticks. But then you put a little helmet on, and then you put a shield, and then you do a belt. And I mean, for us as kids, we did not have computers, folks. We did not have games, computer games. There was no Nintendo. There was certainly not whatever the Xbox or any, I mean, that's as cool as it got. Whoo! Now he's got a little sword in his hand, and they would build the soldier in front of you. But I got to tell you, this is not just kid stuff, Jason. It's real. And God meant for us not to literally. I've had a guy one time, and I smiled. I try not to just rebuke everybody for the stuff they. He said, every morning I wake up and I stand next to my bed and I say, oh, here's, I pretend I'm putting on a helmet, putting on a belt. But that's not what he meant for us to do. The helmet of salvation is that, yeah, you're not going to do okay in marriage unless you know you're saved. You need to have had your eyes open to life in Christ, be alive in Christ. The breastplate of righteousness is simply like, do you know that you have no righteousness of your own? The only righteousness you have is from Christ. And when you know that, you'll be much more forbearing and gracious with your sinful spouse. Oh, putting on the belt of truth is not pretending to snap something around your waist before you fly off to work. It's sitting down and reading your Bible. That is truth. And so you put it on by taking time to read God's word. Same way with the sword of the Spirit. That's God's word. You got to know it well enough that you lay hold of something for today. I like to look at my scripture reading and say, so what? What's my takeaway? That's when I put the sword in my hand. What is it that I want to be putting to death today that I saw? Ooh, I need to do better there. What, you know, so sword of the Spirit, gospel boots. Here's where I think people miss it. This is the piece of armor that I love to clarify. We tend to think, oh, gospel boots. He's saying gospel. He's saying boots. That's on your feet. It means go out and share the gospel. We have verses like that. It's not what he's talking about. A Roman soldier knew the advantage goes to the person who has a good, firm stance. So they actually put nails and little pieces of metal embedded in the sole of their sandal. It doesn't matter what kind of weapons you have. I say to Christians, it doesn't matter what kind of gifts you have. If you're not secure in your stance, you'll go down. And so that stance has to do with assurance of salvation, gospel boots, because it's literally worded this way in verse 15, Jason, Ephesians 6, 15, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Because you know you have peace with God now, you're ready to do life. When you don't know that you're saved, Christians that live with constant insecurity expect more than they should from their spouse. You have relational difficulties because you live with insecurity. When you know that your biggest problem has been solved, that you're right with the God of the universe. Here's how I would say it to you, Jason. Until you know you have peace with God, it's not likely you'll have a lot of peace with other people around you. That vertical peace is what leads to horizontal peace in your human relationships.
If you are tracking with us, you have heard two more ways that you can implement this picture of Christ and the church in your marriage. When we come back from the break, we will dig into more of how we can effectively see our marriages thrive rather than just survive.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. Pretty good discussion they're having on spiritual warfare in our marriage. You know, it's easy to forget that we're in a battle sometimes, especially when it comes to the closest relationships in our lives, which is why I want to recommend to you, if you haven't listened already to Drive-By Biblical Counseling, there's three parts in this Drive-By Biblical Counseling series, and you can pick all three up right now at FortisInstitute.org. And listen, it's packed with practical biblical wisdom for dealing with all sorts of challenges, including your marriage and family life. From communication breakdowns to dealing with past hurts, it's like having a biblical counselor in your CD player. Check it out right now at FortisInstitute.org. And I also want you, while you're there, to take a look at something else. That's the Fortis Plus app. That's right. It's completely free of charge. You'll get access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content. As a matter of fact, there's 7 new posts every single day with new content from our fellows. You've got an opportunity to grab it absolutely free. There's the Fortis Plus app available at FortisInstitute.org, and you'll get the information on the 7 new posts in your email inbox every day if you sign up to become a Fortis Insider. You can do all of that right now at FortisInstitute.org. And as a Fortis Insider, you're going to be the first in line to get information on our private events and our webinars and the new resources that we release as we continue to expand our mission. That's FortisInstitute.org. We're committed to standing firm in God's truth without compromise. This world is constantly shifting. It's a brave new world we're living in, and we want to help you navigate the challenges with biblical clarity and grace. So whether you're a parent, whether you're a young adult, whether you're a church leader, we have resources to help you grow in your faith and impact your sphere of influence. FortisInstitute.org is where you can find all of the information and sign up to become a Fortis Insider right now and download the Fortis Plus app. Also, if you're feeling led, we would be honored if you would prayerfully consider joining us into becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. It's your support and generosity that helps us reach more people with God's word in fresh, impactful ways. If you're in a good place in your life, you're giving to your local church faithfully, you're not strapped by unmanaged debt, we would love it if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Those details also at FortisInstitute.org. All right, well, now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney as he continues to unpack God's blueprint for thriving marriages and families. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're being so much like your father.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Jason Allen, and Pastor Brad Bigney.
Welcome back to Thrive with Brad Bigney. My name is Jason Allen, and if you were with us before the break, you heard Brad talking about gospel boots. Brad, I'm picking up on the fact that you were a little excited in talking about that. Yeah. And I must admit, I've never heard that put that way. So would you share more about that with us?
Yeah, I would love to, because I do believe identity, your own assurance and security. You realize the most healthy person to marry is someone who is actually at ease with themselves. I'm not saying you inappropriately, pridefully, you just think you're so great. But marrying someone who's so insecure and unsettled and feels so incomplete, and them thinking marriage is going to fill that all those gaps, that's a disaster. So I'd like to address this a little more because I know we come through, you know, the hurtful world. Sometimes people are growing up in families that aren't raising them the way they should have been raised. Right. They aren't getting the love, the care, the affirmation. And so I think that's why the scriptures talk so much about identity in Christ and security and assurance. When you don't know who you are and you are not convinced that you are his child and that you have peace with him and he truly loves you, you can't risk opening up and loving others. Love by its very nature puts you at risk. When, guys, listen to me. When he calls us to love her and he tells us five times to do it, which must mean we're not good at it, you won't want to open up and really give yourself and love her if you're not secure in knowing that you're loved by Christ and that you have peace with God. And so that's why I think these gospel boots of peace are so important, because that's your stance. You may not be that gifted with other spiritual gifts, but if you can stand secure in who you are in Christ and you don't wake up wondering if God loves you today, I don't know, I had a bad day yesterday, I blew it on a couple things, you know, maybe today he's pulled back from me. That's going to affect how you relate to other people, starting with those closest to you. So I like to explain it to my counselees that these gospel boots are your core. This is your spiritual core. So if people could see me, I'm not like, you know, ready for a tournament or anything, but I go to the gym. I go to the gym three times a week and I try to stay fit. And I hit this point a couple years ago, Jason, that I realized, all right, I'm in my 50s. I'm still doing what I used to do that I learned in football high school as far as lifting weights. And I thought, I bet there's something different I should be doing because a bunch of things hurt and I keep getting hurt and I'm not seeing the results I'd like to see. So I bit the bullet and I paid way more money than I wanted to pay to meet with a trainer. But I am telling you, you know, you see the people in the black outfits walking around. You're like, whatever, a personal trainer. Guess what? Personal trainer can tell you some things that you don't know. And I paid quite a bit of money each month, and I was amazed. The first thing they started talking to me about was your core, your core, your core. And it's your abs that are connected to your hips and your glutes. I had lower back stuff. I mean, massive lower back stuff going on. And they said, it's your core. We got to strengthen your core. They said, you're tight all the way down, you know, your buttocks all the way down the back of your legs, your Achilles heel. I kid you not. As he started working with me on my core, I no longer have lower back issues. And everything, he said, you won't see results in every other area that you're working if we don't strengthen, because everything is hinged to that. That's what I'd like to say to believers about these gospel boots of peace, that we know we have peace with God. This is your core. This, and Satan knows it. So that's why I think so many Christians struggle with assurance of salvation. Listen to me, your relationship with Christ and your insecurities as to where you stand with him are impacting your horizontal earthly relationships, starting with those closest to you. One of the best gifts you could give to your spouse, man or woman, is to get greater assurance and security that you know you are saved. And God's word wants you to know, 1 John 5:13, these things I've written to you so that those that believe in Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. I get a little pushback depending on what branch of Christianity you're in. Now, doesn't it seem arrogant to say that I know? Well, it would be arrogant unless the scripture said that you should know. And he's saying you should know. I want you to know that you're saved.
Yes.
That you have peace with God. And that will impact the level of peace you have with others around you, because you won't need as much from them. People are trying to fill in the gaps and the insecurities that they should have been filled in with God from other human beings, and it puts too much pressure on them. It crushes the people around you, and you end up disappointed by them. Poke here and consider, this might be one of the best things you could do for your marriage. Not read another marriage book, but sit down with another brother and sister in Christ that you trust. Read a good book about assurance of salvation and dig into the scriptures and say, why don't I have a settledness that I have peace with God and security in who I am with him? Maybe work on that for the next 3 months.
Brad, Paul's words seem to reach a crescendo in Ephesians 6:16. What's going on here?
Yeah. In 6:16, he just It is. It's true. And I love Paul for this. Paul emotes. And Paul's emoting right here. Above all, taking the shield of faith. And I know this might sound like, yeah, all right. But I would say it takes robust, very alive, well-fed faith to have a marriage that thrives. And here's what I mean. You got to walk by faith. You've got to trust God because you're going to hear God call you to do things that you're like, ah, I don't know that. That's terrain I haven't traveled before. That's not who I am. That's not. And so it takes faith to cross the line and say, you know what? I'm going to do what God says. He says, give. I feel like holding back. He says, forgive. I feel like holding a grudge. He says, yep, it's going to take faith. And so I think that's why that is right there around this marriage passage. It takes faith to do marriage. It takes faith to do the Christian life. And so then that leads us naturally to a question. So how do I get my faith to grow? Glad you asked. Romans tells us faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So never mind. Sometimes people are like, well, there's only a couple places where the Bible talks about marriage. Yeah. But reading the Bible in general feeds the faith that you need for your marriage. And so you need steady, daily, regular intake of God's word. Because you think about this, you've got to understand God's word. Then you need to agree with it, and you still haven't done enough. You need to depend on it by stepping out in faith and doing it. You're like, but what if I really begin to sacrifice and give and love her and I don't get enough back? Mm-hmm. What if? And the woman is saying, but he's less than perfect. What if I begin to submit and follow and he doesn't change? That's always the biggest fear. What if I obey and they don't obey? What if I change and they don't change? I love to say to people, you're never a loser when you seek to please God. Stop making it about, oh, fix my marriage and I don't want to give more than she gives. Start making it about, God, I'm going to trust you, lean in and please you, and let's see what you do. Because hear me, men, you are only responsible for you, and you're not supposed to try to change her or worry about her, but you're going to answer to God. You're going to get a husband report card, not just a marriage report card, a husband report card. When you stand before him, you'll be accountable. Did you do what he calls you to do? And wives, same way. Trust God. Trust God. So it takes faith. So that's why I think he's saying, above all, oh, please know that you're saved. Oh, please know that you have no righteousness of your own. Oh, please have the belt of truth. But you better take up faith, above all, the shield of faith. Because here's what Paul says. There's fiery darts of the evil one coming in. Are they not? You're having thoughts like, oh, we never should have gotten married to begin with. Oh. I cannot tell you how many people have sat in front of me and said, well, here's the thing, Pastor Brad. The reason it's okay for us to divorce now is we never should have gotten married. Everybody loves to say that. We never should have gotten married. I love to say back, you're married now.
Right.
So God wants you to work on the marriage you do have, not the marriage you wish you had. And believe it or not, as shocking as it might sound, if you start over, you will be marrying a sinner.
Right.
And you will find out what the troubles are in that one. You'll have troubles. It may be a different version, a different variety. Trust me, you will have sinner trouble that will require faith. So stay with the marriage you have. I mean, I'm in a marriage right now that is delightful, not perfect, but delightful. And I ran out and bought a book in the first 2 years of our marriage called The Incompatible Couple. I looked at Vicky and said, I married the wrong person. Vicky looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore, but I'm not going to divorce you because we're both Christians. Folks, if you've been listening so far and thought, yeah, well, whatever, he doesn't know how hard it is. This guy sitting right here does. I know what it's like to be in a marriage and you think we couldn't be more different. This will never work. This will never thrive. That's a lie. Trust God and see what he could do.
Well, Brad, thank you for sharing more ways we can implement these commands of the Lord that we find in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We've learned that we must stand firm against the schemes of the devil and how we do that by arming ourselves for spiritual battle. Additionally, we've seen the importance of taking up the shield of faith. Not only are we seeing God's purpose for marriage, we're learning how to treat our spouse in such a way that we show the world the picture that is the relationship between Jesus and his church. If we will love our spouse in the ways that we're learning about, we'll see that God's purpose is not just that our marriage and home will survive, they will thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.